Hello there, fellow humans. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Jessica Jost, and this is Interview with You. Today, not yet with you, today with Eileen von Knobelsdorf. Eileen is my third guest in this mini-series about infertility journeys. Today, we'll delve into her personal story, future plans, and her remarkable ability to transform challenges into triumphs. In Czech, we have an idiom that perfectly captures her spirit. She is able to weave a whip out of shit. While this might sound crude, it beautifully illustrates her knack for turning seemingly impossible and horrid situations into success and metaphorical flowering garden. Join us to hear how Eileen consistently makes the best out of less than ideal circumstances. Tune in and be inspired. Let's go! Hello and welcome to my podcast. This is the third episode of my mini series about fertility journeys. And today I have Eileen von Knobelsdorf, a beautiful, lovely lady. Thank you very much, Eileen, for coming. She's 41, she's married, and now she has two children. Funnily enough, one of them is with us in the studio or with her.
In the background.
Plant behind you moving. It's really adorable. So Eileen has two children, 5 and 1 years old. And she, as we were here in her story, used this unfortunate journey or the journey that she has to go through for the best. And she used to be a yoga teacher and she became a fertility yoga teacher and prenatal and postnatal. And can you tell us more about what you do?
Yeah, so hello everyone, and thank you, Jessica, for the introduction and for making this happen. So, yeah, I will tell you a little more. Basically, I was already a yoga teacher, but when I started to try with my husband for baby number two, we started having problems. So I actually had recurrent miscarriages, and I was just completely lost. I would say disconnected from my body, like disappointed from my body. And I desperately was in need of something, you know, to help me. And this is how I actually discovered that there was fertility yoga, because I didn't even know that it existed before. And so I started practicing it for myself, and it helped me a lot. It helped me to, you know, kind of find peace again with my body and with what happened. It was grounding, healing. And I kind of like to describe it like this, yeah, healing balsam, you know, as if you would just like put this beautiful cream on your body and mind, and it would just heal all the wounds that have to be healed, help me to reconnect also with my body and myself. And so I then got really passionate about it and wanted to learn more about it and become certified so that I can also share it with other women.
Yeah, I find it like when you talk about it, I feel like it's a way to sort of give gratitude to your body, like to get acquainted with it and like consider it a friend and try mm-hmm. to be grateful for whatever the body did for you already. And I think that this is a good way to start when you have this sort of issues. So, but you say that the first pregnancy was with no problem.
Exactly. So, okay. Yeah, I didn't. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. So, yeah, my first baby, I had it without any issues. And so, you know, I think I was very naive. Also because my mom, she gave birth to 9 children. So I thought I come from this really fertile family and fertile background. And I realized that I was extremely naive. I had no idea. And also because with the first one, it worked so easily. So I was, yeah, taken by surprise when then with the second one, it didn't work out like that.
Yeah, for me, I had actually the same story. My first pregnancy was like really easy breezy, no problems whatsoever. And then, so I thought, just like you, I mean, yeah, so then let's have another one. And then I also had the same story. I miscarried twice, but between I don't know how many times you had the issue.
Yeah, I had five miscarriages.
I'm tempted to say you win, but of course you don't. Yeah. You miscarried five times. But this was after a natural pregnancy, or did you also go through the infertility treatments already?
Yeah, so actually first we tried naturally, and actually I had to go through three miscarriages. And actually even after three miscarriages, my back then gynecologist didn't, you know, she said, oh, well, you know, just keep trying and it may be the stress. And she didn't really want to look into it.
And so how after, old were you?
So I was then third. So when I started trying for the second one, I was 38. 37, 38.
Okay.
And so I then started my own investigations because I just, you know, I didn't want to have more miscarriages, and I just didn't agree with my gynecologist. And also, you know, you have a certain age, so you start having a little bit of the time pressure, the biological clock that is ticking. And so the more I investigated and started to do some tests, I found out, you know, little by little, that there were more and more issues. Then I started actually being followed by a fertility specialist, not trying yet with IVF. So, you know, like medical cycle with medication, where they track the cycle and tell you exactly when you should have intercourse and so on. So there I had another two miscarriages like that. And these were still trying naturally without, so no IUI or no IVF, but medically followed already. So under medical treatment with basically the same procedure almost, just still trying naturally. And so timed intercourse and also was doing injections and taking medication. So there I had another two miscarriages, and then eventually I decided to do the IVF.
Okay. And then for the IVF, how did it work?
So actually, it's interesting because most doctors told me that I have no chances with IVF and that it wouldn't work for me because, amongst others, I had extremely low ovarian reserve. And there were some other issues, so they told me that the chances would be something below 5% that it would work out. And many told me I should, the only chance would be with ovo donation, or I should keep trying naturally, which for me was not an option anymore because I didn't want to keep on having miscarriages. And so the doctor I was followed by back then, I was very persistent, and I said no. I just felt it was kind of a gut feeling, and I was like, no, I think this has a chance, and I want to give it a go. And then she said okay, and then, you know, the miracle happened.
So it was after the first transfer.
So I had three egg retrievals, but. So I did the IVF in Spain. I didn't do it in Luxembourg because I needed the PGT testing, which is the pre-genetic testing of the embryo.
Okay.
They don't offer this in Luxembourg nor in Germany unless there's a very specific case. And so I did three egg retrievals because I wanted to do some egg pooling, knowing that I have extremely low ovarian reserve. And that I would have to test these embryos, and the chances that I would get a viable embryo was pretty low. So I wanted to do as many egg retrievals as possible, and then only do the transfer, also because of my age. So that then, you know, if the transfer wouldn't work out. And so I did three egg retrievals, but it's only the second egg retrieval who actually gave me two viable embryos, so that means that they were tested and they were euploids, and then I had one transfer that worked, so I was very lucky.
That's great. So now he can disturb our podcast recording. That's
exactly
fantastic. That's fantastic.
He's alive and very healthy.
Yeah, so congratulations, because he's still quite young, right? One year old.
Yes.
So, How about the traveling to Spain? Because I know you're not the only one here in Luxembourg who does kind of infertility traveling, because I know that many ladies do it for one reason or another. I guess that it makes it a little bit more complicated than, although because I also know that it has to be like very precise, the retrievals, la la la. So how does this work?
Yeah, so I would say everything depends. It definitely is one, it could be another stress factor because you have the logistics and you can't really plan so much ahead because, as you mentioned, everything is depending on, how the stimulation is going and then room for transfer, how's the uterine lining getting ready. So you kind of know only last minute when you have to be in Spain. And then that means you have to take the flight ticket maybe 2, 3 days in advance. And that's when you're lucky and book, hotel or whatsoever. So that can add some stress. However, for me, even looking retrospectively, obviously I've got my baby, so I couldn't be more happy. But I would do it again and again because Spain is just so much better, so much more advanced, so much more professional. So for that alone, but also because for us it was this beautiful break as a family. So my husband would always come and my son, who was back then 3 years old, and it was just a beautiful escape, from our daily routine, from problems, because as we all know, when we go through fertility problems, it's so extremely draining and exhausting for ourselves, but also I think for the couple and for the family. And if we already have a child, so secondary infertility brings that we, I think, also have a lot of bad conscience, toward that existing child because we are maybe not that present, or that full of energy or that happy as we maybe want to be for that child. And so, our time in Spain was just pure happy moments. So I don't remember it at all as, oh, I went there for medical treatments, but instead, it's just really happy family moments.
That's very, so you'd always like stayed there a little bit longer or afterwards to chill
Yeah,
and
we always try to have at least, let's say, 1 day before, maybe 1 day after, if we could make it happen. Also, some of the retrievals, they happened in the middle of COVID, so that's,
Yeah, you won the jackpot there.
so it made things more complicated on one hand, but on the other hand, it was a blessing in disguise.
Because the process as such is very stressful, and I think that it may be a very good solution that you take it as a little holidays. You said that you would do it again and again, and now I happen to know that you also will. Because I just told me a minute ago that they will go for a baby number three. So that's great. I mean, this is really fantastic. I like it for you. And but so you will go again to Spain.
Yes, exactly. So I will go back to that same clinic with the same doctor because I really trust her. She's absolutely amazing, and I also really like the clinic. And I have still one frozen embryo. So from that second egg retrieval where I had those two miracle eggs, even my doctor, she couldn't really believe it, that I got these two golden eggs. And so yeah, this beautiful embryo is waiting there to be implanted and give a little sister or brother to my two other ones.
I feel you kind of hope for a girl.
We have four boys with the two older ones of my husband, so a girl would be very much appreciated. But then, for me, all that matters is that it's a healthy baby,
Yeah,
and even
sure.
if it's a boy, I'll be extremely grateful
Happy.
and happy.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really great. Back to your yoga teaching. And I first will say that all the contacts for your normal yoga and fertility yoga and prenatal and postnatal yoga will be then in the description of the episode. But I want to say, because you told me also, and I found it very interesting, that in your classes, some ladies who are doing the fertility yoga are very happy to have also later pregnant ladies there, and some of them don't. Is that right?
Yes. So, however, I need to specify that maybe. So basically, fertility yoga, I want this to be a class. So if someone starts coming to fertility yoga and then ends up being pregnant, I always tell them that fertility yoga is also there for them, especially in their first trimester. So it's not just, of course, some random pregnant woman that would come to the fertility yoga, but it's someone that came regularly to fertility yoga, then finally gets pregnant. And we know that after trying for you know, longer periods of times, or maybe we had a really tough case, we live a pregnancy in a very different way. It's not just we are pregnant and everything is fine, but then starts, you know, that fear of the first trimester and so on and so on. And so I want them to still have that support, especially if maybe they don't feel yet ready to go to a prenatal class. Also, that time usually it's not official yet. And I think they just need a different kind of support from others that understand that we don't live, that it's not just, oh, I'm pregnant and I'm happy and everything is fine. No, we may go through anxiety and stress and fear and not being able really maybe to enjoy it in that first trimester, not being able maybe to tell others. So I want the fertility yoga to be that safe space too. And there, I always also want to make sure that everyone feels comfortable and safe. So I usually ask my students if it's okay if there is someone coming and that is pregnant. And I mean, usually most common, they don't mind because it's someone from the group. So they know that that person struggles. And I got some really beautiful feedback from some of them saying like I love it, you know, and I'm so happy for that person. And it's for me, it's like giving me hope and faith and reminds me of, you know, that this can happen too. So basically that it's so important to also have positive stories, you know, because it's true that if we're only surrounded maybe by women or by stories where maybe it's not working out or not yet, then it's also important that we have those beautiful stories of success and of hope. But some, they may not be okay with having someone, you know, that is pregnant knowingly because they're just too sensitive and it may trigger them too much. Depending, you know, what their journey has been like and how sensitive and every it's a very personal decision, I would say, in how we feel and how we react to it.
Yeah, I understand, because it also maybe can be different day to day, because I remember when I had my miscarriages and then I saw somebody pregnant, it felt so sad, and I thought it's unfair and all this. So I get it. I mean, all the feelings are of course valid, but what I love about it is again that you create a community, and as you say, safe space for people, that they are among people who understand. So that's really fantastic. And you said also that yoga, because you were a yoga teacher already when you started with the infertility journey, that it was like a safe space for you, right? So what do you think is the most important part of, like, the mental part of the journey that people should focus on, first of all?
It's a big one.
Yeah, you know, we are the specialists, the body mind guru. So go ahead, share.
it's a huge and very, very important one, and I think too often it gets forgotten or underestimated, and I would say that usually if we are under medical treatment, it's completely kind of forgotten or just not taken into consideration. And that's also another reason why for me it was so important to start something that gives that mental and emotional support that we may not get from our doctors and clinics. But also I think that, for example, we can be so caught up for example, in what we're eating, right? So what we're feeding our body. But I would say that what we're feeding our mind is not just as important, maybe it's even more important. So the mental part, I think, plays a huge role.
And can have a huge impact as well on our fertility or on our way, how we handle things and how we feel. And I would say maybe one of the big ones is the letting go, you know, not wanting to control and not being able to control certain things. And I think it's kind of a declick when we're able to let go and let go of the timing, what if and when, and I want to be pregnant by then, and you know, all the things that go through our head and through our mind, and also that pressure maybe of what happens if we don't ever manage to be pregnant and have a child. So I think these are like fears and pressures that can kind of destroy us mentally and block us, so literally block us. And I think that once we're able to let go of that, then we're in a much more peaceful state. So that means also that our body can do its natural job, you know, of producing the right hormones, of falling pregnant, having a healthy pregnancy, and giving birth to a healthy baby.
We could apply all this also for people who, you know, are not trying to have a baby, right? Like, it's always good to be chill mentally, but the way to be that way is complicated and bumpy, yeah. Because I think they didn't teach us at school anything like this. So, but I think yoga is certainly one of the good ways for the journey to yourself, to find out who you are and what's important.
We all know how annoying it can be when someone tells you just relax. It's the hardest part. And the more actually we know also that stress is maybe not good for our fertility and that we should relax, it becomes this vicious circle. And the idea of yoga, and specifically fertility yoga, is also to just learn some tools. You know, what can I actually do? What actually works? What can I apply? You know,
I love the concept of fertility yoga, like, because it's a community and at the same time, like a practical help on not only on the physical, but also on the mental level, which maybe is not so obvious to people. When I was younger, I always thought, yeah, yoga is an exercise, which yeah, it is. But the way I do yoga now is completely different than I did when I was younger, because it's not just physical exercise. This is what the yoga is about. But it's, for me, it wasn't clear. And I think it's good to make this distinction that yoga is really very good for your mind, if you're doing it right with the right person, right?
Yeah. It's holistic. For me, it's very holistic.
Yes.
Many of us, actually, we start more for physical reasons, let's say, or we practice maybe more the physical yoga. And then little by little, you know, we dive a little deeper and then discover all the other parts of yoga, you know, like the meditation and the breathing and affirmations, mantras and other things.
So for the baby number three, what, can you tell us more about that? What is in the planning?
I'm actually planning to take my audience with me, so those who are curious, they can follow a little bit on my Instagram, because I think it's also very interesting to see for others that maybe are not there yet, or that maybe have an upcoming IVF, or are maybe thinking of going abroad and are wondering, you know, how is it and how to organize this. So now, in preparation, what I had to do is I had to prepare for 2 months. I had to prepare the uterus with some specific probiotics. Then I had to do a microbiome test. So I actually just came back yesterday from Spain. So I just did that test. And I get the results in about 10 days. And if those results are positive, then the transfer can be planned for probably end of August.
So your holidays will be in Spain this year, I'm guessing.
Actually, we already had planned the holiday, so we are actually in Spain, but not at the right dates. Yeah, but it's okay. I don't mind to have to, you know, fly in one more time for that transfer.
I wouldn't mind also going to Spain twice per year. I mean,
right?
I'm pretty tolerant towards traveling to Spain. I think it's also a great idea to share the story. I think it will be very helpful for many to see how it works, and also I think it can give you some support from your friends in the misery. So I will be following you. For sure.
Thank you.
Keeping my fingers crossed. And I will share also that, as I said, your Instagram and everything. Is there something, some message you would like to pass on to the listeners about the journey?
Yeah, I think that sometimes it's really important that we reconnect with our intuition and also kind of inner wisdom and the innate wisdom that we have and that our body has, and that not to forget that we're not a statistics, because so often, you know, we get told these horrible things from doctors that we are too old, that our ovarian reserve is too low, you know, that our chances are bad or almost impossible. But if you know, and if you have that motivation and that energy to not, you know, to not give up, to remember that we are not a statistic, that there are exceptions, and to keep believing in it. Of course, there will come a moment maybe where you will have to decide for your sake, your health's sake or family's sake that now it's enough. But as long as you do have that energy and motivation to continue to, yeah, to trust, you know, our body is so much stronger and so much more intelligent, and our body can heal itself. So we just need to sometimes give the body the right tools.
You said if you feel like you want to stop already, this is also listening to your intuition. I think it's I agree with this very much in general, that we are kind of, again, disconnected from the body, disconnecting from who we are, and it's hard to listen then to ourselves. And this is
inner voice.
I suppose what you can learn at your yoga classes, right?
Yes, definitely, because it does help to quiet a little bit the mind. I think that as long as our mind is overwhelmed and busy and too many voices and things going on, I think we just can't think clearly also. So it really helps to calm down your mind and your nervous system so that you can also see more clearly what it is that you want maybe, and the way you want to go and what's the next step.
Yes, that's to listen to yourself in the first place before listening to other stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a great message for the end. Thanks so much. Thanks so very much for coming and sharing your journey and your plans. So I really hope that in a year or so you will come here with yet another disturbing little human. And
that would be amazing.
That would be great. I will keep an eye on you. So thanks so much. And hope to hear you in a year at the latest then again. Thanks very
much. Thank you so much, Jessica. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, that went well. Thanks for joining us today in Interview with You. I hope you enjoyed the time as much as we did, and that it brought something positive to your day and to your life. Don't forget to get in touch if you want to be my next guest, or if you have anything else you want to share with me. The contact details are in the description of the episode. There is a link to a Facebook post where you can share your thoughts and all the contacts. Do not hesitate to follow the Interview with You Facebook page or me on Instagram at JoostJaska. Remember, both Jaska and Joost are spelled with J's. The European quirks, right? Anyway, go ahead and follow my social media so that you do not miss anything exciting. I look forward to hearing from you and to possibly having the next interview with you.
To fight back time, some will always stay. you and I.